in the recesses of like, why do I know that?
Right. The lizard brain is holding on to this.
Exactly. For some reason, in case I'm going to need that information one day, how to recognize.
That's why I am with my husband with like 80s music and stuff. I'm like, you should let that go. You got like new memory chips to put in there.
It gives you a lot of insight into, you know, like Alzheimer's or some of the people, like where they store some of those older core memories.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Because, you know, I could not tell you which decade music came from in the last 25 years, but like in the age range of the 80s and 90s, I could like almost give you the month it came out.
For sure,
like
yeah.
Those core identity things. And yeah, the worst is when you reintroduce your kids to some of your favorite stuff and they're like, this sucks. Like, why do you like this, Dad?
Oh my God, my kids have, like my son Tucker has this playlist that is so perfectly my high school years.
Oh, it's coming. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. It's coming back. My stepdaughter is now into like Beastie Boys and AC/DC, and it's like, what are you talking about? Like, why do you know the Beastie Boys?
Well, there's nothing better coming out right now, so you can't blame them for
No, but it's like, it is weird to feel like that's your retro. Like when they say this classic hit from
sure.
You know, when you were freshman in high school.
We're now vintage.
It's like, oh no, I'm classic rock.
Yeah.
On that note, we're set to go.
We're good. All right. Well, Missy Hughes, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to see you.
So for voters who don't know you, introduce yourself and tell us why you're running for governor.
Yeah, so I'm a mother of three. I've lived in Wisconsin since almost 2000, and we raised our family here, my husband and I, working for Organic Valley. And I worked for Organic Valley for 17 years. And then Governor Evers asked if I was interested in running economic development for the state. So for the last 6 years, I was the head of Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation.
Is there a single issue that drives you, or perhaps a lane within the party that helps define you?
You know, it's all about the economy and building a strong economy for all Wisconsinites. That's what I did for years working at Organic Valley, helping farmers stay on their farms, and then at WEDC, building an economy, whether it was in Milwaukee or Anago or Superior, all around the state, working with communities and businesses so that everyday Wisconsinites can succeed.
How much money do you think you need to raise in order to win this primary?
Oh, you know, the money factor in politics is really interesting, and I have an incredible network. I think that the race is going to be anywhere between $2 or $3 million for the primary, but, you know, I'm just guessing. I'm not sure that I have the best answer for that. I can tell you that headed into the general, which is what I'm focused on, it is going to be an incredible race. All eyes of the nation are going to be on Wisconsin.
For you personally, how do you define the difference between negative campaigning against a member of your own party versus just defining the differences between two candidates?
You know, I'm excited that Wisconsin has a lot of choices for the Democratic primary, and my goal is to make sure that Wisconsinites know my story. I have a story that is fresh and different. I've never run for office before. I'm the only one who is from outside of Madison or Milwaukee. So I have a lot to say about myself, and I'm going to be focused on telling my story.
For primary voters who are tuning in right now, should they be looking for the candidate where they align most closely on the issues, or should they be thinking about electability?
You know, as a Wisconsinite, I want to make sure that we keep the governor's seat blue and that we have someone who can lead the state and be successful in building an economy for the state. And that's why, just as a citizen of Wisconsin, I'm focused on electability and making sure that we get the right candidate winning in November.
For this Democratic primary, most of the candidates have connections to Madison or Milwaukee, mm-hmm. Southeast Wisconsin, or you know, even your position ties you to Madison. What's your goal to reach the rest of the state and let people know that you can connect with those other areas?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I live in Western Wisconsin. So I am from outside of Madison and Milwaukee. I have worked all around the state. We've had impact in all 72 counties. So, you know, whether it's a small business in Washburn that we've supported, or Milwaukee Tool or Fiserv in downtown Milwaukee, we've had impact all around the state. And so I can speak to creating a statewide coalition that carries the day next November.
What will be the impact of Donald Trump on this election?
You know, I think what we're really seeing is just a devastation in the economy. As I'm talking to businesses, they are pulling back. They're not rehiring people. They're stopping investments. And as I'm talking to everyday Wisconsinites, they are struggling to make ends meet. This is all because of Donald Trump's policies. This is a man-made crisis that we are in right now. You know, looking at what's happening with the farmers out in Western Wisconsin, we saw farmers plowing under soybeans, which is insanity. And now Donald Trump is offering a bailout to try to make up for his failed policies and, again, this man-made crisis that he has created.
When you look at the diversity that the Democratic primary is offering, mm-hmm. we're still hearing rumors of other candidates out there. Why does it seem like there's some people within the party that want a white guy to get on the ticket somehow?
You know, like I said, Wisconsin is going to have a lot of different choices. And what I hear from Wisconsinites is they want someone who is not the same old, not someone who is just looking for the next rung up on their career, someone who is really demonstrated impact and service to the state. That's what I've done for my entire career, again, working for farmers, working in the dairy industry and manufacturing, which are huge in Wisconsin. And so I think that, you know, the more the merrier, whoever, you know, wants to come and join this adventure of running for governor. But at the end of the day, we need the best candidate who can win next November, and that's me.
As governor, there's a good chance you could have a Democratic legislature behind you. In that case, what's your AB1? What's the first bill you want to sign?
Well, the first thing that the governor comes in and does at any time when there's a new governor is write the budget. And so I will be working closely with whoever's in the legislature to make sure that we have a budget that is immediately addressing challenges that Wisconsinites are facing. Things like health care and child care costs, but also we have, you know, a real challenge around public education. We need to reinvest in our teachers and our schools, and we need to make sure that our university and our tech colleges are funded in a way that helps them move forward. It's all about investment. It's all about taking the dollars that we have in Madison and leveraging them around the state to make great things happen for Wisconsinites.
There's also a good chance that Republicans could control part of the legislature. What's your history of working across the aisle?
You know, I would say I was confirmed twice by the Republican Senate unanimously as Secretary of Economic Development. And if you asked any of them, I believe that they would say they have a record of working with me. I would also say that I've had a bipartisan board at WEDC for 6 years. And in that whole time, we had two close votes. Other than that, the board was practically unanimous in many of our moves, approving our budgets, passing programs. So I have a mindset of working with everybody who is willing to come to the table and have good discussions and think about how do we make Wisconsin better.
The Public Service Commission is looking at some large utility rate hikes, and we're seeing data centers being proposed all over the state. What's your policy on that, and do you think we need to put some laws in place regarding those issues?
You know, I think the most important thing to remember when it comes to data centers is we have leverage in those conversations. The data centers want to be here in Wisconsin for the main reason is that it's cold, and it doesn't cost as much for them to cool those big data centers because of Mother Nature and just the weather that's all around them. So if they want to come to our party, if they want to be here, let's invite them, but let's be at the table making sure that they are good partners for the state and making sure that we are negotiating the best deals that we can for the state. I'm somebody who's been at that table. I've had those conversations. I've worked with the big data centers and the big providers. I've worked with many big companies in negotiating for Wisconsin, and I have that experience that I would bring to the table, and I would be very hands-on in making sure that we're doing everything we can to protect Wisconsin ratepayers, Wisconsin's environment, but also take advantage of the opportunity that's offered by the investment we're seeing in technology.
You mentioned public education. Does that just need more money, or is there an overhaul that needs to be involved in that?
You know, right now we're in this situation where we have said that competition is good. Decades ago, we decided, you know, competition is going to make our public schools better. But one thing we're not doing is looking at the rating of how other schools are doing that are receiving public funds, whether those are charter schools or other types of choice schools. We need to have a scale that helps us understand how are they competing. It isn't necessarily that something must be better than public schools. It's let's have a real accountability, make sure our kids are achieving and getting the quality that they need in order to succeed. I will do everything I can to support public schools and public school teachers because that is so fundamental to how we are as a state. We're based in education. We've just had 8 years of an education governor who did tremendous work, and I was proud to work for him. But we need to make sure that we continue to invest and put those dollars to work in our communities.
When it comes to the voucher system, do you think that needs to be restricted, expanded, left alone?
I think that we need to look and make sure that we have good accountability and transparency first. Before we start making decisions about stopping or starting or eliminating, we need to understand what are they providing for our children and our families, because there are families that are counting on those voucher schools, but at the same time, it can't come at the cost of public schools, and it can't come at the cost of making sure that we're funding special education.
What's the number one tax reform that you'd like to see happen?
I would like to see that we're making sure that when Wisconsinites pay into their income taxes or their property taxes, those dollars are getting reinvested. Right now, we have a system where the money is coming to Wisconsin, to Madison, and it is staying here and not being reinvested in our communities. When we pay our hard-earned dollars into property taxes or income taxes, we expect those to be leveraged back across the state. And so making sure that we have a system that is responsibly deploying those dollars is the first thing that I think is most important.
Over the course of the last year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has rolled back legislative oversight of the rulemaking process. And there's been some people saying that we need to have some bipartisan reform to put some oversight back in place. What do you think on those issues?
You know, there is a broken process between the executive branch and our legislative branch. That broken process has been years and years in the making. And it is because we can't find our way to allow the other side to have a win or to have the other side to have a good conversation about these things. What we need to do is get people back to the table. And as governor, what I would want to do is be sitting down with legislators who have concerns around particular regulations, understanding what those concerns are, but then saying, you know, we got to move these things forward. People need to know that government can function. We can't have these things continually hung up, just like the surplus in Madison, and not being answered for the people of Wisconsin.
What would you like to see in terms of funding for local governments?
You know, local governments are really struggling under the weight of a lack of funding and years of lack of funding. I had a chance to sit down with the local police department in Vernon County. I did a ride along and sat and talked with the sheriff. And he explained to me some of the real challenges they're seeing when it comes to taking care of their officers, but also taking care of the people who are in their facilities. And, you know, when we're making decisions about, you know, whether to support the mental health care of our law enforcement officers versus making sure that we're providing other services to Wisconsinites, and these are very, very difficult conversations, we need to do better and make sure that local communities have resources. My platform of building the economy is really focused on looking at the main streets around the state, saying, what do you need? What are your priorities? Giving some resources so that then they can start to generate momentum and be able to have local economies that are providing good jobs, healthcare, and the services that Wisconsinites need.
Currently, there are multiple exploratory mining projects happening in northern Wisconsin that could develop into full-scale mines. Do you think that our current mining law is sufficient to deal with that? And what are your thoughts on mining?
You know, I think that we've seen decades of ignoring people's rights when it comes to some of that land, whether it's our tribal nations in the state, and also ignoring the environmental impact on some of our areas. Natural resources in Wisconsin are the basis of our economy. We have to protect them while at the same time we have to use them responsibly. We have to make sure that our mining laws are in tune with current mindset around how we protect people's rights in the land and protecting the environment, with making sure that we keep using the resources in a responsible way.
Yeah. Do you have any concerns about your own personal safety in this political environment while campaigning?
You know, no more than how dangerous it is to drive here from western Wisconsin on an icy day. You know, certainly it's disappointing to see the level of noise that is created around politics these days, and Wisconsinites are looking for someone who's going to bring that noise level down. That's what I'm going to do. And, you know, despite security concerns, despite things like that, I have the energy to be in this conversation. That's what Wisconsinites need. We need leaders who are ready for day in, day out, working through these issues in reasonable ways. And that's what I'm going to do.
What would you like to do in terms of increasing affordable housing across the state?
You know, housing is a vexing problem, but it is not insurmountable. And what we've seen at WEDC, the work that we did was to support innovative housing, whether it's bringing a nursing home into housing, a nursing home that's closed in Gilman. We were able to support making that into apartments, or schools that have closed due to lack of population, turning those into housing. But we're also seeing, you know, new housing being built. And so what I would want to do is make sure that local communities have the resources they need to provide the infrastructure, the water, the sewer for new housing, but then also making sure that we're supporting developers all around the state as they make the move to build housing. I think we can do it. We have to find the best practices that are being utilized all around the state and replicate them. But it's one step at a time. It's a mountain that has to be climbed, and the way that you do that is by taking one step at a time.
Right now, Governor Evers has an ambitious plan to overhaul the Department of Corrections. Would you carry that plan forward?
I would. I watched that plan be developed. I have great, great respect for the team at the Department of Corrections who has put that plan together along with Governor Evers' administration, and we need to get moving on that. You know, it might not be perfect, but nothing ever is when it comes to corrections. It's a very difficult situation, but we need to make improvements on that. We need to modernize that system. It is costing us more now to keep the old system in place than it would be to build a new system and get that rolling.
Would you like to see any changes to Wisconsin's abortion law?
I would like to see it proactively protected. Women's right to choose right now is dependent on court cases, and we need to have a law on the books that protects women's right to choose, protects women's rights to take care of everything that they need for their bodies, and puts women first in that conversation.
All right. Missy Hughes, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate
it. Mining laws, Zach.